excited about the name of Jesus, but what about you and I? What about our name? What conjures up in people's minds when your name is mentioned? What conjures up in your mind when somebody else's name is mentioned? And I want to share a little bit about that this morning. I believe there's a message in it for us that God wants us to meditate on a little bit. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is to be chosen rather than riches. A good name is to be chosen rather than great wealth. A good name is a valuable thing. Your name represents you, your life, and who you are. It speaks of how you do life. Your name speaks of how you do life. In other words, when people know you over the years, your name is mentioned, they think about how you do life, how you carry yourself in life, what's your level of integrity. Are you an honest individual? Are you a hard worker? Or are you slothful? You know, when your name is mentioned, people think about you. They think about, okay, are they a God-fearing man, or they are, you know, are they careless about the things of God and so forth? Your name speaks about who you are and about how you do life. So a good name is valuable. It's more precious than many riches. Ecclesiastes 7:1, it says, a good name is better than precious ointment. A good name, you know, there's some things that, you know, ointment was often used, especially in Old Testament days, but also today. When you have a pain somewhere, it's good to be able to take some ointment and rub it on you. If you have a pain in your back, it's good to have some kind of ointment to rub it on you and to relieve the back pain and so forth. Well, that's what a good name can do you in times of trouble, in times of distress. A good name can do that to you when people make a comment about you, even though you're struggling, and they make a good positive comment about it, that you're recognized as a person of integrity, you're recognized as a person of faith, you're recognized as a person who loves God and will direct their lives to that end. That can bring great comfort, the same way ointment will. A good name is a precious thing and should never, never, ever be put down, I guess, or we should never allow ourselves to belittle our name by doing some things that is dishonoring to God. One of the things that we often hear, which is really a sad condemnation against Christianity, but many times when people who are in business, who are Christians, some other people who do business with them sometimes say, yeah, and look what happened. They ripped me off and they're supposed to be a Christian. How many, you know, so many of us have heard stories like that throughout the years. We really have. And it shouldn't be that way. We should be a people of integrity, a people who honor our word and so forth, because that brings honor to God. Last night we were listening to Pastor Andrew talking about the people who built his or renovated their church, and talked about the business that was involved in renovating the church, and was a couple of Christians, and they were you know, people of integrity, and he just couldn't say enough about them, about how well they did their building and how they stuck to what their word, and they went above and beyond the things that they said they would do. They were under budget and all the rest of it. That's a kind of a testimony. That's a kind of a good name that really promotes the church of God, the people of God, and so forth. It was a real blessing to hear that, because you don't hear that all that much. But it's great when people, Christians, walk. They're so concerned about their name, they will always walk with integrity, do what they say, and say what they do. And it's wonderful for God to release that kind of integrity into our lives, because generally speaking, men and women don't walk in that kind of integrity without the power of God involved in their lives. It's important for us to know, when we speak a name, what kind of power is behind that name. I love David's testimony when he went before Goliath, when he went before the Philistine. He was about to go to war against him, and he said to the Philistine who was coming about against him, when something is coming against you, you want to know who your backup is. And David said, you come at me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you defile. He said, I come at you not in my own strength, but there's somebody behind me. I come at you in the name of the Lord. And basically he was saying, and he's going to take you out. He's going to see that you're going down today. And yes, it might be at my hand, and it might be me slinging the slingshot, but you're coming down by the hand of the Lord. Remember, the word says in Romans, he says, I'll soon crush Satan under your feet. The day is coming when the church of the Lord Jesus Christ are going to have such a name of powerful integrity that God releases the anointing of God that Satan is crushed under our feet. I don't want you folks, but when I look around the world today and I look at different countries and see the turmoil that's happening in nations, in Ukraine, in Iraq, in Iran, in Syria, and so many other places, there's so much turmoil, I can't help but think, are we heading close to the climax of all things? Are we getting close to the end of days? Is it? Are we reading the signs properly of what's happening around the world? We see major world powers now coming into conflict. We see the United States there in such a precarious situation. They don't know what to do with Russia because, you know, if they come down too heavy, we could have a nuclear world war. And China, they're not saying anything. Nobody knows what they're doing. And we see now the United States talking about making alliance with Iran to defeat what's happening in Iraq. I'm telling you, it's bizarre out there. It really is. But is the signs of the time speaking to us about we're getting very close? Something's happening. I don't know what it is. And I'm not suggesting that, you know, the world's going to end next year, next month, or in the next decade. I don't know. But I know one thing. When we look at the world around us, there are things being set in place that it would appear that there's a real spiritual turbulence that's taking place. And it's important to know in these times who we're hooked up with and who's behind us. David knew who he was, and David knew who was behind him. He said, it's in the name of the Lord that I'm going to come against you. It's the name, the Lord is going to deliver you into my hand. So what's in the name? When we say somebody's name, what does it mean to us? The longer I serve God, the more I realize that he desires so much to be in relationship with me. He desires so much to be in a relationship with you. He desires so much for us to be not only in a kind of relationship where we're his subjects and he's the king. That is very real. And we recognize Jesus as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But I've noticed Jesus wants to also come beside us. He loves us so much. He wants to know us intimately. And most of us shy away from that, especially men. We'll try to shy away from that. Number one, we don't know what intimacy is all about. We have no concept of what intimacy is all about. So we shy away from that. We try to, you know, let me be the subject of the kingdom and I'll serve the king, bless God, and we'll go there. And that's good. We need that. We desire for people to have a heart for serving the king. But the king also wants people who are able to come around him in an intimate relationship as well. I think some of us who might have a difficult time with intimacy have designated intimacy to one particular slot that men don't feel comfortable with. But maybe it's something different all the time, altogether. Maybe intimacy to a woman, you know, speaks of, they can go into the Song of Solomon's and see awesome intimacy there and really relate to that, really relate to words like, say, you know, you kiss me with the kisses of your mouth and things like that. A woman might be able to relate to that if they think it's a man singing that, but a man would have a difficult time with that. But maybe intimacy to a man is, well, he can go out into a camping trip or a hunting trip or whatever and really have Jesus come along with them and just know that his presence is there, to be able to talk with him, to be able to walk with him, to be able to know that he's with you, and that there's times, even though he's King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Savior of the world, there's times he comes closer than a king would. There's times that he comes closer and he touches our hearts. That precious name of Jesus is an awesome, awesome name. And when we speak it sometimes, we need to just take our time and just speak the name Jesus in a way of saying, Jesus, I want to come closer to you. I want to be able to feel your heart the way the Apostle John leaned on Jesus' chest at the Last Supper, the way he came very, very close to him. When we say his name, what's in a name? What's conjured up in the name when somebody hears your name or when you hear somebody else's name? You know, the Sometimes I get, usually I a lot of times I get called Pastor Bill. Sometimes I just get called Pastor. And when somebody just calls me Pastor, somehow to me when I hear it, I notice that. I Pastor Bill, I don't notice it probably so much or when I'm called my name, but when somebody just says Pastor, I think there just seems to be something a little bit cold about it. Because that's not who I am. I am a pastor, but that talks about my title and my function. But I'm more than a title and a function. And when you say my name, it speaks a little bit, it's just something a little bit closer. Oh, you're not like that. You don't care about anybody ever saying your name. I know we are. Any motivational speaker will tell you the most important thing that anybody ever wants to hear is their name. Why? Is because people, when we say somebody's name, we are saying that we have taken time to get to know your name and to understand your name and to care about you. Not so much what you do, but you. Not so much about your function, but you. We care about you. And there's something different when we mention somebody's name rather than their title. Titles really never give anybody any kind of authority. It's who we are. Who we are in Jesus. Jesus is the Messiah. Messiah is the title. Jesus is the Savior. Savior is a function. Jesus is a man who says, I want to have a relationship with you. I care about you. The precious name of Jesus. And I'm convinced Jesus' name will become as important to us as our name is to us. And that, what I mean by that is, if we are diligent to guard our name, to do the right thing so that people will recognize that we as a people, that when people hear Bill Arsenault, they will think of a person who loves God, who walks in integrity, not a thief or a liar or a person who doesn't keep his word, but somebody who really walks with integrity before God and before man. And I know we all want that. When people hear your name, they want to know. There's certain characteristics. I know for Robert, for instance, and somebody when somebody mentions Robert, I often think of joy. Robert demonstrates joy a lot of times. Robert laughs a lot. He loves to laugh. And I see that in him. There are some things that people will think about when they hear your name. What do you want to put out there? What do you want to portray when people hear your name? Your name is important. Robert E. Lee, he was a general in the Confederate Army back when the Civil War was going on in the United States. He was one of the greatest generals, and some people would argue that he was as great as Napoleon Bonaparte and others, Alexander the Great. Some people would argue that he was that great a general. Of course, he was on the wrong side in the Civil War. He got defeated, and after the war, people came up to him and said, we would like to use your name in order to promote this lottery, Louisiana lottery system. And he said, it'll make you rich. They said, if we can use your name to promote this lottery system. As the story goes, he buttoned up his jacket and said, listen to me. He said, I've lost my house in the war. I've lost my fortune in the war. I've lost everything in the war. The only thing I have left is my name, and it will not be bought. Now get out of here before I break this cane over your head. That's how important his name was to him. And you and I should look upon our name in that way. In every business dealing that we do, in everything we do, we should look upon our name as a valuable thing. And if we do anything off color, then it is putting a stain upon our name. And I think we need to hear this message quite a lot in this day and age that we live in, because years ago, man, it was an important thing to have your name. And you know, business deals were done with a handshake because of the honor that was in an individual. And they'll say, you know, if brother so, if they've said it was good, then it's good. And I'll buy in on it. I remember one time when I was in Western Canada years ago, back in the 70s, I was involved in insurance company business. And I used to bring insurance policies to farmers and some insurance policies and talk about them, explain them to them, and so forth. But anyway, one of the tactics that they suggested when you're going to go into a community as a salesperson, go to an individual, and if you can get them to buy a policy, find out who the significant person is who has a good name in the community, get them to buy a policy, and then every place you can go after that, you can tell them when you're selling the policy, well, brother so-and-so, or the guy down the road, Joe Blow down the road, he bought a policy. And I've seen this before, when in some people's lives, that's all they had to hear. If so-and-so bought a policy, count me in, I'm in. It's amazing the kind of influence a name has. It's amazing. And I believe that is the case within Christianity as well. Unfortunately, there's a lot of bad publicity out there. And when somebody misses as a Christian, when somebody does something to that is very ungodly or something that brings a blight on the church, that is proclaimed all over the place through the media. But we very seldom hear of the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of good, living, God-fearing people, Christians, who would never do anything to bring a blight on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many out there. Our name is to be guarded. It is important to us today. You remember when Peter and John were going into the temple, and the man, a poor man, reached out to him, a crippled man, and said, there he was begging for something, and Peter and John said, "Silver and gold I have none, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk." And we know the scripture, that man jumped up and he went and ran into the temple, leaping and praising God. And all the people around him were excited, and they were just so thrilled because a man was healed in the name of Jesus. Now the religious folks of the day did something else. They got really mad. The religious folks of the day end up putting Peter and John in prison. And then when they took them out of prison the next day and took them before the Sanhedrin, they asked them this question: by what authority and by whose name did you do this? They wanted to know. They seen the authority and the name connected together. There is always a connection between authority and your name. There's always a connection between the authority that you walk in and your name. And your name represents who you are, how you live life, your degree of integrity, and so forth. The level of authority will rise as you live in integrity before God and before man. Not only in the natural realm. We know that in the natural realm. I mean, it's a no-brainer in the natural realm, but it also works the same in the spiritual realm as well. In other words, if you say that you'll do something in the natural realm and don't do it, then people around you will often start, we can't count on his word. That person said that, but they never carried it out. And they didn't do it one time. They did it again and again and again. Their word's no good. Well, if we are an individual like that, over in the spiritual realm now, when we go and try to deal with something, when we're asking God, say, "In Jesus' name, we ask you to come and work for me in this particular thing, or I need something over here. I need you to come and to help me. I'm having a pain and I need it delivered. I need deliverance, or I'm having a struggle financially, or something's going wrong, so I need your help." Well, if our word's not good in the natural, it won't be good in the spiritual either. The only word, if we are a people who do not keep the word of God in this life, the only prayer that God will hear is, "God, help me keep your word." The only prayer that God will hear at the time is the significant prayer that needs to be prayed by us at any given time. In other words, we have to go back and deal with the issue at hand rather than just coming to Jesus and using his name to kind of get some things that really we're not entitled to. And what do I mean by that, we're not entitled to? Well, if we are seeking God for the best job that we could ever possibly walk into, the best job in the world, we could write down what the best job in the world is, and that's the job for me. Well, if that's the best job in the world, then we have to be the best employee. we have to be the best person for that job. And so we have to diligently work toward that. If not, then we're asking for something that we don't deserve.